your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello, fellow traders. It is February 8, 2026. First, I want to apologize for not being in touch currently. I know we had used some of our other shows, but there's been a lot of transitioning going on. You know, when you move an office, you think you're settled, but a lot of times just the technical aspects kind of come and go. Some of them work for a while, some of them don't. And it takes a while to get settled in. And last fall, I was very busy updating four of our older books. So those have all been revamped as of the end of the year. And that kind of pushed back the Sacred Path of Warrior Traders, which I know you folks are all anxiously waiting to read. But first and foremost, I want to give a big shout out to our host, 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. And I really appreciate WBGS because I would not be who I am today without their wonderful station and their great assistance. I am pretty much a newbie at these kind of things. So they've been very supportive, and I just want to say thank you to everyone at 1610 WBGS, and we're going to keep going bigger and better forward. So getting caught up, we've had quite a few of you write in and ask about the Disciplined Trader Workshop. Now, I know there's a little glitch on the website. It says that it's 2.5 days. But when you go to sign up, it actually says 2 days. And it is actually only 2 days now. When we started doing those workshops some years ago, we thought it would be more convenient for people to fly in on a Friday. And we would start the workshop on Friday afternoons at 5 o'clock. And we would usually go probably from 5 to 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And that was more of a get to know you, just kind of a basic introduction to get everybody relaxed. Well, in today's, frustrations with travel and scheduling and all that, we scaled it back to all day Saturday and all day Sunday. You still get the same amount of material, but it just makes it more convenient for people to come in on a Friday, relax, and get ready to work the next morning. So instead of Saturday and Sunday being 9 to 5, we start at 8 and we go to 6. So you're not going to be missing out on any material. It's the same amount of material, same amount of hours. We're just going to have it at exactly 2 days. Now, with that said, my most popular types of workshops are the one-on-ones, meaning individual traders spending 2 days with me. Just working on their trading challenges. That's fine with me because it actually is a lot easier because then you as a trader, you have a private and discreet workshop with me. The workshop is 100% geared toward your trading, and you walk away with a lot of new material that's not on anything on the internet. It's not part of any of the pirated videos that you see of Mark Douglas. This is taking our material, and it's been expanded exponentially. So what anybody's going to get in the Disciplined Trader Workshop is brand new, more extensive, more intensive, one-on-one, shall we say, I don't like to use the word workshop so much, because it's not really a workshop. I mean, you will be given exercises to do. We will also have a meditation involved both days. There will be other exercises and examples And there will be, essays that you're going to have to engage in during the workshop. That's why, it might be to your benefit to do a one-on-one rather than a group setting. So if you have any other questions about the Discipline Trader workshop, please don't mistake it, the name of the workshop, as just being applicable to our first book, The Discipline Trader. The Discipline Trader is our trademark, that's our brand, but that doesn't mean you're getting material from years ago. I mean, that's just, that's like any other brand, okay? Kellogg's, all right? Kellogg's been around for, close to 100 years, but that doesn't mean you're getting 100-year-old cereal, okay? So this is our brand, the Discipline Trader. So just bear that in mind. And, I'm fully willing to work around your schedule. We can do it during the week. It doesn't have to be on the weekend. Primarily, we do it on the weekend so traders can trade during the week. But and I can also come to your area. That would, be an additional cost for you to pick up. But, you can come here and we can get ready and rock and roll and we can get you on your way to trading wealth. That's what we're here to do. So that's about it for that. The books that we've been updating, we've got four more books that we're updating because, as I've mentioned, we are expanding our approach to a more practical, applicative perspective, which also entails a deeper understanding of what it means to believe in yourself as a trader or as a successful person who is a trader. So the other books that we're coming out with, we just published our very nice little book on daily miracles. That's called Living in Grace. These are real stories from just people like you and I. These aren't Hollywood people. These aren't famous race car drivers or athletes, or it's not anybody in the media. These are just real people who experienced the grace of God in daily life. They're not sad stories. They're happy stories. There's inspiring stories about the metaphysical and spiritual aspects of making a cup of tea from loose tea leaves. And then there are, of course, actual miracles that have happened to people. Now, Mark Douglas and I wrote this book a long time ago. It's a compilation. It's not that big. I'd say there's about 15 or 20 stories in there and poems. And it's a nice little read. And it's a nice daily reminder that God is watching out for us. He does hear us. He does speak to us. And our guardian angels also watch out for us and keep us safe. Now, when I use these terms, folks, that's just the terms that work for me. Now, you may call God by something else. You may call guardian angels by something else. It could be a saint. It could be whatever. It could be a Hindu god. It doesn't matter. So when I use God or angels, it's just a generic term. So I'm not professing any specific religion. So I just want to be clear about that. Spirituality is spirituality. Faith is faith. It doesn't matter what you believe in, as long as you believe in it, because then it works for you. Now, Mark Douglas was not raised with any organized religion, and yet he was probably one of the most spiritual people I've ever known. He had a very strong connection to God, and it was amazing to see all the good things that happened in his life. So if you get a chance, pick up a copy of that. It's called Living in Grace. It's in paperback and a Kindle, and I think you'll enjoy it. I think it's just a nice reminder, especially in today's world where things are not smooth all the time. So just bear that in mind. A couple of the other books coming out. Well, we reissued our cookbook, Cooking with Grace, and that was the first cookbook of its time ever to include prayers to be said before you break bread together, before you have a meal. Whether you're by yourself, you're with your partner or your spouse, or your family, or you're in a big group. So that was always a good seller. We reissued that. It's got a super cool cover. And I think you'll get a kick out of that. And our other books are about creating perfect relationships and just developing your own sense of personal peace, personal power, and personal wealth. So even though our primary focus here is about trading, the underlying dynamics that Mark Douglas and I created so many years ago were always about helping traders get in touch with the higher sense of themselves. The highest sense, the highest belief they have about themselves to create what it is they want in their life, whether it be through trading or something else. You know, because as traders go through this journey, there's a small percentage, but there is a percentage of traders that decide that trading is not, it's not meant for them. But until they went through the journey with us, with me, they didn't know that. But that was okay, because when they came to that realization, that's the choice that was right for them. And there's nothing wrong with giving trading a shot. And if you find out that it's not for you, there's no shame in that. You gave it your best shot, you did it, and you realize, hey, I really don't want to make the effort. Then okay, you just step away and you do something else. Or you stay at your day job. And that's fine, because that may be your comfort zone. That may be where you are supposed to exist to create your wealth. So just keep in mind that it doesn't matter to God what you do to make a living. He just wants you to be happy, and he wants you to be as wealthy as you choose to be, and he wants you to believe in yourself and believe in him to be there beside you, helping you along the way. So we are back, rocking and rolling in here today. Now, one of the things I kind of wanted to go over about what I was just talking about, you know, ever since I started working at one of the exchanges, the Mid-America Commodity Exchange, one of the things that I found was that traders, just in general, are usually a bit superstitious. Now, if we take a look at the word superstition and where it generates from, superstitions go back to ancient times. I mean, probably back to Neanderthal days when ancient man didn't understand the seasons or didn't understand why it rained or snowed, didn't know where the rivers came from, you know, didn't know how birth happened, whether animal or human. So superstitions have been around forever, primarily when people don't understand why things happen or how they happen. I mean, it's really only been in the last century that, I'll say a century and a half, that scientists kind of understand about weather. And you may say, well, no, we've known about weather a lot longer than that, but not really. I mean, scientists may have been keeping track of weather longer than that, but they never really understood what caused weather, you know, hurricanes, tornadoes, up until you know, just this past, you know, in the 1900s. So, so up until that point, there were still a lot of legends, shall we say, about weather that most people would joke about, you know, like, oh, there's a big cave on the other side of the planet, and that's where all the wind comes from. Like in the award-winning movie, The English Patient. And that was set in the 1920s. And, you know, we can look at that statement and laugh about that, but there is, you know, sometimes there's some truth behind some of these legends and these superstitions. Now, I wish people would stop talking about black cats. I have no idea where that came from, except maybe during the Middle Ages when they had the witch hunts and anything black was considered evil, just anything colored black. So, you know, the cats to this day get a bad rap if they're black. So we have to kind of step away from superstitions, but the way to step away from superstitions is to understand their origins. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to give you a dissertation on the origins of superstitions. All I'm saying is that I'm superstitious, shall we say, you can use that word, because before I leave my house to be gone for hours on end, I will go over and I will make sure that all the burners on my stove, on my gas stove, are turned all the way off. Okay. I mean, that's, I may do it once, I may do it twice. Now, you may call that OCD, but I call it being extra careful because I live by myself, except for my beautiful black cat, Solomon. And I don't want anything to happen to him. You know, my furnishings, you can replace furnishings, but you sure as heck can't replace your best friend, who just happens to be my biggest buddy right now, Solomon, my black cat, who has brought me so much good fortune. It's unbelievable. So that superstition is over for me. And I do my best to change that for others. But getting back to, you know, just basic superstitions, you know, like walking under a ladder, that superstition just is because many times people up on a ladder were painting and a bucket of paint could fall down and hit somebody and hurt them or just even just splash paint on them. So you just think about it. You know, somebody on a ladder is working at something, whether it's handyman stuff or they're painting or they're cleaning out their gutters or they're taking their screens down to wash them. They're doing manual labor in such a way that if you walk under a ladder, whatever they're doing might fall on you. So that is not a superstition. That is reality. That is reality. Now, taking this a little further to trading, and I know I've shared this story before, but when Mark and I had our office at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, we shared a suite of offices with four or five other traders. And in that suite, it was basically like a little house. We each had our own offices, and in those offices we had sleeping quarters, we had a little kitchen, we had a full bathroom with a steam shower and everything. I mean, it was really nice. And Mark went to go use the restroom, and there was another trader in there, and there was a penny in the urinal. And Mark went to use the urinal, and the trader was in there and yanked him away and said, "Oh my God, you can't do that. There's a penny in there." And Mark just kind of looked at him and he said, "Okay, what's the big deal?" And the trader looked at Mark and he said, "Everybody knows that's bad luck." Now, if we extrapolate this, first of all, who knows how the penny got in there? I mean, I'm not going to guess. I don't even want to know how it got in there. But technically, if you're going to urinate on money, that would be sending a negative message to the universe. All right. So technically, I could see that could be a valid concern. However, the fact that this trader was so upset about it just kind of floored Mark at the time. So, you know, he went and got a paper towel and took the penny out of the urinal. You know, I don't know what he did with the penny. He didn't tell me. He probably washed it off and put it in his pocket. But the point is, even doing that, the trader just flipped out. He's like, you shouldn't have touched it. Anyway, long story short, Mark came back to the office and told me what happened. I'll be honest with you folks, I laughed because I thought, what if we went to all the men's rooms in the entire exchange and put pennies in the urinals? What would happen? Would there be a meltdown on the trading floor for all these men who wouldn't be able to use the men's bathroom? So the point being is that even though Mark took the penny out of the urinal, the trader still was freaked out. Now that is, I don't know what his experience is behind that. And before that incident and ever since, I have never had any trader talk to me about this. So it might have just been that one trader. I don't think so. But we do have to take these things seriously. So, like I said, excuse me, I would guess that the negative perspective of that would be urinating on money, which would not be a positive thing. Okay. And I'm not going to go into the great detail. Think about it on your own. But so Mark thought he was alleviating this trader's distress by taking the penny out of the urinal. And unfortunately, it appeared to make it worse. So, however, that was not either Mark's or my superstition. So it wasn't anything that affected us other than we had to stop and think about superstitions and how they affect other traders or even ourselves. Like I said, I will double check the burners on my gas stove to make sure they're off. I will make sure all the windows are closed, you know, that the doors are locked and that my alarm is on. And I will do that at least once, if not twice, before I leave. Is that being superstitious? You may say yes. I kind of look at it as I'm double checking, especially in today's world. It's just a habit. And I started doing that a long time ago, even long before Mark passed away. So I'm comfortable with that. And we're going to get into this a little bit more after the break. But just start thinking about your habits, what you do, that you may have, mislabeled them as a superstition, when in reality, any habit you have just might be your comfort zone to allow you to free up your mind to be objective before you're starting to trade each morning or each day. Now think about that. It may not be a superstition. It may be a routine that is right for you. And that's okay. But it has to be okay for you. It has to be okay for you. You don't need to change it. You don't need to break it. You don't need to stop it. It just has to be okay for you.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay. So folks, you know, when, as I said, superstitions have been around long before our ancestors were born, and they'll probably be around long time after any of our great-great-grandchildren have gone on as well. I think the term superstition is not used anymore, but I think, you know, the medical community has relabeled it as OCD. That may or may not be the case. I mean, I know I've had people laugh at me when we may come to my house and we go and get in the car and I say, oh, hold on. And then I go back and double check to make sure I lock the front door. And, you know, they laugh at me and say, oh my gosh, you're so OCD. I just let it go because that's their terminology. That's not mine. I know what I'm doing is my comfort zone. Now, I'm not doing obsessively. I'm not doing it 10, 15, 20 times. I'm doing it twice. So that's what works for me living by myself. Now, if I had a roommate or a partner or a husband, I wouldn't need to do that. Okay. So it just is what it is. I'm just being safe. So to take this a little bit further, for those of you that are really connected to social media, and if you are researching anything about any habit that you do that's repetitive, and I'm going to say above, you know, two or three times, and you're looking on social media to see what that means, or if there's a name for it, I'm going to ask you, why do you need a name for something that brings you comfort? And again, I'm not talking about anything obsessive. I'm just talking about normal double checking. All right. Don't buy into the notion that there's something wrong with you. Double your checking yourself at any time, and especially not by anything in the media. We have no idea who is writing that, whether it's AI, whether it's true, whether it's real. Is that a real doctor? Is that a made-up doctor? We just don't know. So this is where it gets back to traders learning how to think for themselves. Okay? So, you know, as I've relayed stories in my coaching and workshops and podcasts about traders, you know, who had superstitions that either benefited them greatly or else turned them into boom and busters, you just think about what you're doing, all right? Think about what you may be calling yourself while trading, okay? You can have what you may call a superstition, or you may have what you may call an OCD behavior, and that's fine. But if you don't feel that those superstitions or that OCD behavior is helping you become a better trader or assisting you in taking and keeping profits consistently, then you need to step back and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay? Like, for instance, as I've mentioned, you know, on other people's podcasts, quite a few floor traders and even traders today that I know or that I've dated or worked with, they have no problem wearing the same type of socks or even the same pair of socks when they're on a roll, you know, when they're on a roll, when they're on a winning streak. As a matter of fact, most of these traders, if they had a winning streak, they would go out and buy the same socks, the same color, the same style in quantity, you know, maybe 10, 12 pairs to keep that streak going. This is not unheard of. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. Other institutional traders I know, they'll wear the same tie to work every day if they're on a winning streak, even though their boss may yell at them and tell them not to. That's their comfort zone. And so since they are working for a firm and they are, you know, meeting with clients, they might leave the tie on while they were trading, but if they had to meet with a client, they would take that tie off and put on a different tie. Okay? So, and the only time they would change that tie before trading would be after a large drawdown, because they knew they had to start a new winning streak. And that was due in large part to their belief in that specific tie or that specific set of ties that they wore every time they had a winning streak. And even further, in a lot of cases with these traders that I know, they would never wear the tie they had the largest drawdowns in again. Some of them went so far as to cut them up and put them in the garbage. Some of them burned them in their, you know, fire pit outside. And some of them just threw them in the garbage as is, because they didn't even want to donate them to put what they felt was their bad luck on anybody who might get it at a thrift shop. So, you know, there's a lot of superstitions, some of them faith-based, such as, you know, traders may wear a holy medal of a saint, a patron saint, but touching that medal while trading was always considered blasphemous. I mean, big time. And that equates to an erroneous belief that you can't ask your patron saint or God for wealth as a trader. And I'm sure some of you will remember the story I've told many times about a trader that always had a rosary in his pocket. I mean, he was very Catholic. And one day he bought a cup of coffee and he accidentally put the change from his check into the same pocket as his rosary. And he had the worst trading day ever. He's in the middle of the trading pit and he realized, oh my God, he put his hand in to touch the rosary because that was his habit. And he realized that the, quote, dirty coins were touching his rosary. And as far as he was concerned, it was so bad, it was basically a mortal sin. And for those of you that don't know what a mortal sin is, in the Catholic Church, a mortal sin is equitable to murdering someone. It's completely unforgivable. So, you know, all I'm saying is that specific trader who had, and he lost well into six figures that day, by the way, he had such a belief that his religion, his faith had to be clean and pure and untouched by money, that when those coins that he got in change touched his rosary, it was as if his whole entire world fell apart because he considered money as dirty. So this gets back to a lot of the conflicting beliefs that traders have about making money and their faith. If you have a belief that money is dirty, and let's be realistic, money is dirty. It changes hands, you know, dollar bills and coins. There's germs on them. But we've had paper and coin money for hundreds and hundreds of years, and I don't think I've heard or read about anyone dying from touching a coin, you know, or handling paper money. So I don't think it's deadly. Yes, I mean, it's always a good thing to wash your hands after handling money, but I just don't think you're going to die from it unless you believe that God is going to punish you for having money touch a rosary or a medal of a saint or a statue or anything like that, anything faith related. Now, if that's your belief, and if that's what works for you, I am not saying to change that. All I'm saying is that in my experience, that's not just true. It's just not true. Okay, I don't believe that money found coins on the street is dirty. Yeah, of course they're dirty, but I pick them up. I throw them in a little cup holder in my car for whenever I need some change. I always carry around a bottle of hand sanitizer, so I will sanitize my hands afterwards. But that doesn't mean that I think money is dirty. It's just like anything else. You know, stuff has germs. That doesn't mean that it's bad. Money makes the world go round. Money is energy. This is why each and every one of you, including myself, became traders, because we want to have a lot of money. We want to, whatever that means to each one of us, we want to have energy to do what we want to do with our families, for the community, for others, or just to save it or invest it. It doesn't really matter what we want to do with money, with our trading profits. The bottom line is, if we have an underlying belief that money is dirty, then that's going to negate the very process of being a winning warrior trader. God doesn't think money is evil. There's nothing in the Bible that says money is evil. I mean, there's things in the Bible about you know, rich men don't get into heaven, but that wasn't from God. I mean, do we think Noah and Moses and David and, you know, all these other, Job, you think they didn't go to heaven? They were all wealthy. So you got to stop and think for yourself. What's important to you as a trader? Is it to take consistent profits and grow your equity, expand your trading account to you know, financial numbers that you haven't experienced before? Then you have to believe that prosperity is given to you. Yes, God gave you the brain to think in ways to take profit, but you need to allow yourself to do that. So my point being here, and I know it may be a little esoteric for some of you listening, but you know, God is the source of all of our prosperity. He is the source of all of our wealth. As I've stated before, I would not be here today if I did not believe in him helping me through after losing everything after Mark died. That is a fact. I would not be here today. I would be homeless if I did not believe in him. So just take a moment and reflect on that as we head into the break, that I know he's there, but it's up to you to believe that he's there for you just as well. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in my heart. I'm not perfect. I'm far from being an angel. I'll freely admit that in a lot of my shows here. So you don't have to worry about that, because he loves you regardless. So again, as we head into the break, just think about that for a moment, just how much he loves you. You have a trading account. You're trading when countless other people don't and can't. So he is there for you. Okay, so welcome back. As we head into this final segment, I just want to touch on one thing as well. Quite a few of you that have worked with me, once we get through your typical trading challenges, this, you know, fear of missing out, you know, fear of loss, and get to the root cause of all of that, 9 times out of 10, you will get down to why you really called. And that question is, how do I get past feeling guilty about making money as a trader? Because all I'm doing is pointing and clicking my mouse. I'm not really working hard at all. And that's an excellent question. And it's one that I wish more traders would ask themselves, because it is a fact. Most of us are raised with a work ethic, meaning you work hard, you get ahead. You know, if you put in the hours, you're going to get this amount of a paycheck. And, you know, to be real, folks, anybody can read a chart. I mean, I've worked with teenagers at high schools where I was mentoring students. And just for fun, you know, I would pull up some charts and I'd say, well, you know, where do you think this market's headed? I'll tell you, like 75% of them were spot on. Never seeing a chart before in their life. So it doesn't take a lot of talent to read a chart. But what does take a lot of talent is believing in yourself, having faith in a higher power, and knowing that that higher power there is guiding you and directing you to become wealthy, whatever your definition of that is. Now, I've mentioned before one of probably the best books on expanding your mindset to becoming prosperous is The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity by Catherine Ponder. Now, I think she's probably almost 100 years old. I'm not quite sure if she's still alive. I went to her you know, her social media, and it seems like she's still there. There's no obituary or anything, but you really need to get a copy of this if you haven't already. Keep in mind the book was written in the 1960s, so the dollar amounts in the book obviously are applicable to that time. Now, even when I first read it in the 1990s, when I first met her and began working with her, even I was surprised at how little people were making back then. I mean, some people were making like $50 a week. And you know, even just by 1990 standards, I'm thinking, who the heck could live on $50 a week? But, you know, in the 40s through the 60s, it wasn't like today. You know, there was no such thing as mortgage debt, you know, being overextended. There were no credit cards. People lived on what they made. I know growing up, there were a couple of the dads in my neighborhood where they were working 8 to 10 hour days at the office. And then 5 days a week, they were going to night school. And they did that for, I don't know, 5-8 years. And then they finally got their undergraduate or their master's or whatever it is they were going after, and then finally got promoted. But they still didn't live in a huge mansion. They might have got the big house at the end of the street, which might have had 3 bedrooms instead of 2. So things were different. It's all relative. So when you read that book, don't think that the information in there doesn't apply to today's financial world, because it does. Now, she has some great affirmations in that book. Absolutely fantastic. It is kind of Christian based, because she does quote from the Bible, but it really wouldn't matter, because the quotes in there are all about believing that you can create the kind of prosperity that you want, whether it's physical or financial. Now, I primarily focus on the financial because we're all traders here. But to this day, when I'm in the shower each morning, I say my affirmations out loud. Now, I first learned about her affirmations from her book and from her and another story, which we'll go into in another show. But so I will use variations of her affirmations that are right for me. Now, she has an affirmation, let's say, all financial doors are open to me now. So I might change that to all trading doors are open to me now, meaning all markets. All right. Now, she has a good exercise where you take a look at your bank account. And let's just say you have $5,000 in your bank account, as for an example. So one of her affirmations is, this $5,000 is increasing tenfold for me now. So that would be $50,000, right? Now, you could say 100-fold, doesn't matter. So it's simple affirmations like that. So as traders, you could say, I am a winning trader now. I am a consistently winning trader now. I take all profit as it comes my way now. Things like that. All right. Now, you can say this before you start trading for the day. You can say it at the end of your trading day. You can say it in the shower. You can say it in the car. There's lots of times I thank God when I'm sitting in a red light, because something comes into my brain and I'll say, oh, by the way, God, thank you for sending that client to me. Oh, God, thank you for helping me put together that paragraph for my new book. Thank you, God, for nudging me to get out of that bad trade. And at the end of all your affirmations, don't forget to say amen, thank you, God, and most importantly, to say out loud, and so it is. When you say, and so it is, that means you are telling God, you are telling the universe, it's already happening. This is Dr. Paula, paulatweb.com, wrapping it up here today at 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. Have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you soon.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.